Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the third Sunday after Easter, I'm calling A Little While. It was first given by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church, May 3rd, 1998. The Gospels for today and for the next several Sundays all come from the same section of St. John. They are excerpts from the long address Jesus makes to his disciples at the Last Supper. When we think of the Last Supper, we are most likely to remember how Jesus set up Holy Communion, taking the bread and the wine of the Passover Seder and saying, "This is my body, this is my blood." But St. John talks about Holy Communion in connection with one of Jesus' feeding miracles, not in his description of the Last Supper. St. John's account of the Last Supper begins as Jesus washes the feet of his disciples, illustrating for them how they are supposed to serve one another rather than try to control and dominate one another. He continues with a speech several chapters long and then ends with a prayer he addresses to his Father. In today's selection, he is trying to get the disciples ready for the fact that he is about them. It should not surprise us that they have a hard time figuring out what he means. He has told them several times that he is on his way to Jerusalem to suffer and die and rise again, but they have resisted any such idea all along. He says, "A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Jesus is talking about two separate events. First of all, the disciples will not see him for a little while after he dies and is buried, and then they will see him again on Easter. Next, they will not see him when he goes away into heaven at his ascension. And then after a rather long little while, they and we will see him again at the last day. The disciples find this all quite confusing. They say to one another, "What are these little whiles all about? What does he mean about seeing him and then not seeing him and going to the Father? We can't tell what he is talking about at all. We cannot tell what he said." They may think they have hidden their puzzled mumblings from Jesus, but he knows exactly what they are saying. He says, "So you're asking one another about little whiles and seeing and not seeing. You can't figure me out? Let me see if I can draw you a clearer picture of what I mean. Here is how it is going to go. You are going to be sad, and the rest of the world is going to be happy. But then your attitude is going to turn from sorrow into joy." Jesus is following along with what we explained before. When he is executed on the cross, his disciples will be sorry, but his antagonists will be glad. Then the disciples will be happy again when he rises from the dead on Easter. The second part of it is that they are going to feel deserted when he goes back into heaven to be with his Father 40 days after Easter. He will turn that sorrow into joy in two ways. First, he will send them the Holy Ghost to keep them company. And then he'll come back to earth after a little while, which has already lasted over 2,000 years. Jesus goes on to say, if that doesn't help clear it up, think about this. Labor pains are a horrible thing for a woman going through childbirth. Of course, since Jesus invented the system, it is not fair for a woman to ask him what she might ask if her husband said the same thing, namely, "How would you know?" But the joy of seeing the baby when he comes, finally overwhelms the memory of the pains of labor. When I rise from the dead, when I send you the Holy Ghost, and when I come back to earth, you are going to be so happy that you will forget all about whatever sorrow you endured because I was not here. You now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. At the beginning of today's epistle, St. Peter addresses the Christians to whom he is writing as strangers and pilgrims. That gets at what Jesus is talking about in this world. In this world, we Christians are in a sort of interim state. We know our sins have been forgiven, but we know we are not yet perfect. We know that Jesus conquered death for us by rising from the grave, but it hasn't happened to us yet. God has promised us that we are going to heaven in the end. But we are, quite clearly, not in heaven yet. We are trapped in a state of being perpetually in between. We are in the midst of a rather extended little while. We know it won't go on forever, but we still can't be sure when it will end. As far as the world is concerned, this is not our real home. In the deepest sense, we don't really belong here. We're only strangers. We're not expecting to hang around here forever, either. We are pilgrims, only passing through, on our way to somewhere else. This life is exactly what the prayer book says it is, transitory, passing away. In baptism and confirmation, Jesus gives us his Spirit to keep us going until the last little while has ended. His Spirit is the Holy Ghost, the presence and power of God in our hearts, working on us from the inside to change us into exactly what he wants us to be, what St. Paul calls no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.